Sri Vishnu Sahasranam is the thousand names of Vishnu. Mostly these names relate to the opulence, power, majesty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gauriya Vaishnavas, of whom we, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, identify ourselves with, we are mindful of the power, glory, majesty, and greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we are particularly aiming toward appreciation of the beauty, the sweetness, the love, the mercy, the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, these two aspects are not wholly different from each other. It's not that Krishna is only sweet and not great and not powerful. Or it's not that Vishnu is only powerful and not sweet. So, Gauriyas, they also recognize the majesty of the Supreme Lord. It's just that they emphasize more on the sweetness. And we find also in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost shastra for Vaishnavas, particularly Gauriyas, that there is much delineation of the greatness and majesty of Krishna. In fact, his sweetness can be better appreciated by first of all appreciating his greatness. So this is one aspect of the Supreme Lord which the Vishnu, the overall mood of Vishnu Sahasranam, having been spoken by Bhishma, is one of awe and reverence, no doubt. So, name 178. Mahadyuti. Duty means luster, effulgence. So he who is greatly bright and shining, so that is one of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not, actually he is black. He's both black and bright. Can you imagine? How is that possible? His body is blackish, meghavarnam, just like the color of a cloud. Generally we think that something is black will not give out light, but Krishna's blackness is not the blackness of this material world. Krishna, despite being... Thank you. Black is also the supremely effulgent and the source of all light. So this name, Mahadyuti, greatly effulgent, is... We need a translator here? Most of them understand English? To baad mein aap uska upasangha, uska summary, aap kahenge. Alright. O baad mein aap sab jo angrezi nahi aate to baad mein o sankshep mein. Ved Prabhu aapko kahenge. Theek hai? So, who is bright and shining? This name is similar to other names which have already been given in Vishnu Sahasranam. I suggest putting a little oil on the door so that every time someone comes in and out, we don't get the squeaking sound. So other names are there. Bhanu, that name has been given already, which means effulgent. Bhanu is the name of the sun. It's also a name of Vishnu, or rather, it is a name of Vishnu which the sun also uses. It's also the sun, S-U-N, is known as Bhanu. So generally we think that's a name for the sun. Actually, it's a name for Vishnu. But because the sun also has a little light compared to Vishnu, not very much, very, very small part. In fact, the whole universe, everything within it is just mama tejangsha sambhavam, Krishna says. Everything in this world is produced from just a tiny spark of my splendor. So the sun, which is so tremendously bright and shining, like a glowworm. Just like a glowworm in comparison to the sun. Do you know the word for glowworm in Hindi? I know the Bengali word. I don't. Jonaki poka. Jono. In Bengali it's Jonaki poka. Jono. Jono. Glowworm. So in comparison to the sun, the glowworm is of insignificant brightness. So in comparison to Krishna, the sun is of insignificant brightness. Then how can you see? If you look at the sun, even for a few seconds, then you're blinded. You can't see at all. Then how are you going to see Krishna? What are you going to do? What will your eyes do to see Krishna? And then we have to get spiritual eyes. Krishna gives spiritual eyes by which we can see him. So always shining. He doesn't... One important point about all these qualities of Krishna that are being described here is that he doesn't have to do anything to get them. He doesn't have to go to the gymnasium to become strong. He doesn't have to go to the university to become knowledgeable. He is naturally, or if you say natural, that also gives the sense of something inherited from a previous life. But no, inherently. He is inherently endowed with all amazing qualities to the ultimate degree. So the light, that Krishna is the source of all light. He is extremely effulgent. That is the natural quality of Krishna. That light of Krishna, externally, the light of Krishna is reflected as the sun, the moon, the stars, even these electric light. Where does this electric light come from? Where does the light come from? Well, we can say it's a transformation of electrical energy. But if we want to say the ultimate cause, the cause of all causes is Krishna. So light comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So externally, Krishna removes the darkness. And also Krishna, by giving the light of knowledge, by giving the light of realization, he removes the internal darkness, which is much worse. If we turn off all the lights here, we won't be able to see anything. And it'll be a very confusing situation. So, without the light of knowledge, we can't see who we are, where we're going. Krishna gives the light by which we can see anything. Everything. he says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham, what is that? Tesham Satyutanam Bhajatam Priti Pavukam Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Tesham Eva Nukam Partha Mahama Gyana Jang Tamaha. Nashyami Atma Bhavasto Gyana Deepena Bhasmata. We are out of compassion for his devotees. Krishna says, I, as the light of knowledge, give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So this effulgence of Krishna is very pleasing to the devotees, and it's very scary to the non-devotees. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he saw the effulgence of Nrsimhadev. He was very afraid, and he went to attack Nrsimha. But the effulgence, although Hiranyakashipu, by his austerities, had gained some effulgence, but he was lost in the he couldn't be seen due to the effulgence of Nrsimhadev. He just became absorbed in the effulgence that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we also speak of someone with a shining face. So, one who worships Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, he also partakes in the effulgence of Krishna. One who is worshipping Krishna, he becomes bright-faced. We say that someone has a black face, we also say, in English, in Indian languages also, we say that Kalamukhi, someone who's black-faced, that means that they're depressed. But a devotee of Krishna is always very bright-faced, effulgent, because he reflects the effulgence of Krishna. The face is the index of the mind. So there are many names of Krishna which are prefixed by Maha, and several of them have been given just here in Vishnu Sahasranama. Mahabala, Mahashakti. There are many. Mahatma. What's that? Mahanubhav. That means great personality. So there are many names which are prefixed by Maha. In Vishnu Sahasranam, there are 43 names of Vishnu prefixed with Maha. The six names, which up to and including this name, they refer to the qualities of Krishna of overlordship, strength, knowledge, virility, power, and effulgence. So these are the six qualities which make Bhagavan Bhagavan, and by which he's able to perform his inconceivable pastimes. Now, we may say, well, everyone has these qualities. Everyone has some effulgence. That's the difference between a living body and a dead body. And even if someone is black-faced, there's still something is there. The light of the soul is there. Because when someone dies, there's a distinct difference, isn't there? Sometimes in a poetic way, it's said when someone dies, his light has gone out. His lamp, there's no more lamp left in the oil. No, sorry, there's no more oil left in the lamp. So that's a poetic way of someone saying that someone has died. So we all have some light, all have some effulgence. But Krishna's is much, 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 much more. We all have some power to lift up some weights or to run very fast. But Krishna's power is much, 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 much more. There's another kind of power, just like political power. Or the power to dominate others. The parents have the power to dominate their children. The ruler of the state has the power to dominate the citizens. But whatever power we have, Krishna has much, 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 much more. When we say Mahabala or Mahaduti, Krishna has great strength or great effulgence, it doesn't mean that he is twice or three times or four times more powerful or effulgent than us. It's in relation to Krishna, this means just unlimited, unimaginable. But it's important to note that these qualities are those that designate him as a person. If we didn't have connected with us some bodily effulgence, some bodily strength, some mental strength as intelligence, then we wouldn't be living beings, we wouldn't be persons. So Krishna has all these qualities, same as you and me, but his qualities are maha. He is very, very great. This should always be remembered. And even when we hear the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, where he appears to be playing just like an ordinary person, we should always remember he is very, very great. He is not just an ordinary person. So when we hear of Krishna letting the calves loose so that they run up to their mothers, the cows, and drink all the milk, and we shouldn't think, well, so what? It's just some story. But we should always remember that these are the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. Now, another point is that Krishna has all these qualities, great strength, great wealth, great bodily strength, great wealth, great influence, great effulgence, great this, great that, great everything, but he has them continuously, whereas someone may be bright one day, bright-faced one day, and black-faced the next. Someone may be very strong, and then they get old and they become very weak. But for Krishna, there's no diminution of his qualities. And Avyaya, he describes in Bhagavad Gita, that's another name of Krishna in Vishnu Sahasranam, that his qualities do not diminish. This, as we get old, whatever strength, effulgence and so on that we have tends to diminish, and eventually the body will die and it will be gone, and there won't be any wealth, strength or anything left associated with it. It will be destroyed. But Krishna's wealth, strength, fame and so on always exist, because Krishna is his form and he never ceases to diminish. And also all of Krishna's qualities, they are completely pure, unlike our qualities, which are in this material existence. If anyone has strength, wealth, fame, they use that to try to show themselves to be better than others, or they try to use it to exploit or oppress others. So Krishna's qualities, they're all good qualities. They're not mixed with bad qualities. Or someone may be wealthy, but he may be a miser. He doesn't use his wealth for the benefit of others. Someone may be knowledgeable, but he uses that knowledge to cause harm to others. But there's no such mixture of badness in Krishna. It's all good. Now, another name of Krishna, name 179, is Anirdeshavapu. So, Nirdesha means to be pointed out. Look, you see? Pointing something out. Or determined, or described, or proclaimed, or foretold. So Krishna's form is, well, simply you can say indescribable. Now how is that? Why should we say Krishna's form is indescribable? There are so many descriptions of Krishna. He's Shyama Sundara, black and very blackish and very beautiful. He is Dvibhuja, having two hands. Muralidha, he holds a flute. Shikipucha Dhari, he has a peacock feather on his head. Pitambara, he wears yellow cloth. There are so many descriptions of Krishna. Then how can we say he's indescribable? Well, yes, these descriptions are there. They're not false descriptions. They're correct descriptions. But our ability to comprehend the beauty of Krishna, that is the problem. We can describe Krishna just like he is described as Padmanabha, Padmanetra, having lotus navel or lotus eyes. That is some description. But the lotus is only an analogy. But actually Krishna's navel and eyes are much, much, much more beautiful than all the beauty of all the lotuses put together. Similarly, Krishna is called Chandramukh, face just like the moon. That's just to give some idea. But Krishna is much more beautiful than the moon, as is described about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bahu koti chandra jeni badana ujjal. Krishna's, Gaurahari's face shines more effulgently than many, many millions of moons. So this is Krishna. We can describe, but really it's not within the realm of our description. We can try, but we cannot. The words are insufficient to communicate the experience of beholding Krishna with love. And even those who describe Krishna without love. For them also, there are two kinds, two ways Krishna is indescribable. Those who describe Krishna with love, the experience of Krishna's form, words are insufficient to say. And for those who have no love for Krishna, who hate Krishna, then also they cannot describe Krishna because they fail to appreciate his transcendental qualities and they see him just as an ordinary person. So we can describe Krishna, but imperfectly, incompletely. That doesn't mean we should not try to describe Krishna. We should, as much as it is possible for us to do so. We can only do so in a very limited way. Nevertheless, we should do so, because doing so is pleasing to Krishna. He blesses us, but by that. It's pleasing to his devotees. They become pleased. They bless us. It's pleasing to ourselves, and it's purifying to ourselves. That is the proper subject for the tongue. The tongue is always blah, 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 talking about something. The proper subject for the tongue is to describe the qualities of Krishna. There's another meaning of anirdesha, which seems to me to be etymologically acceptable, although neither the commentaries nor the dictionary states that. Because nirdesh means order. So, that can mean also one who appears, he manifests his, in this world. He appears as he is, that means in his original transcendental form, by his own desire. He's not ordered to do so. He's not under the laws of karma that just like we are forced, karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye. We are forced by our previous karma and under the direction, under the order of higher authorities, we receive a particular body. But Krishna is not like that. He comes by his own desire. Sambhavami atma mayaya. He comes by his own desire, by his own mercy. So Krishna is not obliged to come, but he does nevertheless. One other meaning is given, that he's, another meaning of this name is given, that his very form is that who is the sower of the seed for the universe. So that's been described in various ways, that he is the source of all the universes. Just as the bodies of people in this world, they are composed of the Pancha Mahabhut. That means earth, water, fire, air, ether. So Krishna's body, it's not exactly composed or made up, but it is eternally the abode of Ananta Kalyana Guna, unlimited beneficial qualities, of which six are prominent. There is nothing. His form, his bodily form, his bodily color is not really comparable to anything. Though we say lotus eyes, face like a moon, but it's not really comparable to anything. And neither by knowledge nor by seeing can we properly understand Krishna. He is the knowledge, or he provides the knowledge by which we can describe everything else, but we cannot describe him properly. Just as the eyes can see others, but the eye cannot see itself. Then, name 180 is Sriman. This name has already occurred as number 22 and will come again as 222. It means who is possessed of beauty, grace, fortune, wealth, who is beautiful. So, it's just been said that he is indescribable. So that's a fact. But if at all we are to describe, one thing is for sure, he's very beautiful. How beautiful? Indescribably beautiful. Indescribably wealthy. So, that's already been described, but there's much more can be said. So this, in this context, as the name has just been given, Anirdeshavapu. One commentator says that Sriman refers to the ornaments, the beautiful and very valuable. Sri means beauty and wealth. The beauty and valuable ornaments that decorate his body. Of course, his greatest ornament is Sri, which means Lakshmi. So he is decorated with her. He is Srivatsa. Lakshmi always resides on his chest. Shankara says that that this Sri, the beauty, is associated with his six great qualities. Also, he has his wealth is beautiful, his knowledge is beautiful, his renunciation is beautiful, his beauty is beautiful. Everything about him is beautiful. Why is he so beautiful? Well, he has Lakshmi on his chest. Why is Krishna so beautiful? Because he is associated with Radha. Another meaning of Sriman is derived, one who is the proper person to be served. All these names point toward his greatness. And while considering his greatness, we can also consider our own minuteness, which underlines the need for us all to serve him. He is the proper object of service, and we are the proper proper persons to serve. So this can be understood from all these names. As far as beauty is concerned, we can perceive beauty in nature, in beautiful persons, but we should know that all this beauty, whatever beauty we observe in this world, is just a tiny little representation. Whatever beauty, whatever wealth we see, that is a tiny, tiny representation of that in Krishna. Name 181. Ameyatma. Ameya means immeasurable, immense, infinite. So Krishna is Ameyatma. Atma means intelligence, form, person. So Krishna is immeasurable. His very person, his intelligence, everything about him is immeasurable. So this name fits very nicely with Anirdeshavapu, he who is indescribable. One reason why he's indescribable is because he's immeasurable. We can't perfectly describe him. If you want to describe something in detail, you have to say, this person, you want to describe them. How tall is he? Krishna, how tall is he? Well, he covers everything, so you can't measure. How many rulers will you bring? You can't measure. Even if you measure everything, you can't come to the end. So, yeah, he's immeasurable, infinite, immense, incomprehensible. If we cannot measure him, that means he's beyond our power to comprehend at all. Then why are we discussing? Well, we can comprehend him as much as by his mercy he blesses us to do so. So all the qualities of Vishnu which are described in this Vishnu Sahasranam, they can all be summed up in this name. Actually, many of the names, they are a summary of the other names, just like the name before, Sriman. If you say Sriman, that means he's full of all opulences. So that's a summary of all his, of everything about him. And Amayatna means who is a person who is simply immeasurable, inconceivable. So that's another name which summarizes all his qualities. That he is inconceivable doesn't mean that that he's not a person. Generally, if we think that something's inconceivable, the impersonalists take this to mean that, well, it's just nothing to say about it. There's just no form, no person. But rather, Krishna's inconceivability doesn't mean that we don't speak about him, or that we can't conceive of him in any way whatsoever, but that the conception of him is beyond our ability to fully understand, even if we go on describing till the end of time. And there's no end of time. So it'll go on and on and on. So Krishna's inconceivability doesn't stump or stymie the devotee, but rather gives him the impetus, the devotee, to go on and on and on and on describing Krishna, knowing that he'll never come to the end, but being very happy, nevertheless, to describe Krishna. We're like tiny, tiny little beings, and Krishna is so great. So, the next name, name 182, is Mahadridrit, which means the bearer of the great mountain. So, we know two pastimes of the Lord in which he carried great mountains. One is as Kuramadev, when he held up Mandara Mountain in the ocean of milk, and another is when he lifted Govardhan. And actually, he holds up all the mountains. He holds up all the planets and all the mountains. We may be surprised if we hear, oh, he lifted Govardhan Hill. How is that possible? But he holds up all the planets with all the mountains. For him to hold up one hill is not very remarkable if we consider who he is. There's also within Shastra a very famous incident of Hanuman bearing a mountain. So, is he as good as God? Maybe more, because Rama didn't carry a mountain. In fact, when Hanuman went to Lanka, he went by jumping. And Ram, he had to build a bridge. It was an amazing bridge, no doubt, with stones that floated. But Hanuman didn't even need a bridge. He just jumped. So is Hanuman more than Ram? Yes. No. Both are true. Rama made him greater, seem greater. He could only jump by the power invested in him by Rama. He didn't have to send any monkeys searching for Sita. He didn't have to fight with Ravana. He didn't have to do anything, but he does all this to enact his divine pastimes, so that we can remember them even to today and be purified and gratified by doing so. And he does so to show that the devotee, by his grace, can be as if more than he. So Krishna is the bearer of the great mountain. This name is sometimes given as Mahadridrik, one who is capable of bearing a great mountain. And Mahadridrit means one who actually does bear a great mountain. So, the two different ways of saying this. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yes, please. Is there any other mic for question asking? Extra mic? No. All right. Don't speak to me. Speak to the person furthest away from you. नहीं नहीं वो इसके बारे में जो विषय Yeah, any question concerning the subject I just spoke about, and then afterward we can have some other questions. No, all right. Yeah, you have a question. Well, I didn't say that just now, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described primary and secondary names, yes.
So, this name of this Sahasranam becomes primary?
Vishnu Sahasranam, there are primary names and secondary names. Mixture. Names like Ameyatma, that would come under the secondary names. Names like Madhava comes under the primary names. Okay, so shall we take one or two questions in Hindi?